All right. Well, good morning, Brave family. How are we doing this morning? Merry Christmas. Doing well. So glad you're here. And my name is Ricky, and I get to serve as lead pastor of our church, and I'm just thrilled to be able to do that. So thanks for coming. We'll jump into the message in just a moment, but just wanted to say thank you to a few of you who have so far, I know, have contributed towards and are giving towards. There's a blue envelope on your chair, and I just want to take a moment to talk about that for just a second. It's called our compassion offer. You can get it out. You can look at it if you want to. We've been talking about this for a number of weeks, actually over almost 2 months now. We've been talking about our compassion offering. This is the initiative that we have to raise $30,000. A lot of it is going towards poverty and helping meet the needs of our people in our community. I think we're projected to give away just over $25,000 next year or so. That's kind of what we're projecting plus extra. So the initiative that we're doing next week actually cost us just around $7,000 to pull off. That's already paid for, by the way. So that is fantastic. So thank you for your generosity. And so we're going to pack those 25,000 meals. Amen. I told you last week that my father-in-law said, you meant 2,500. There's no way we're doing 25,000. I said, no, we're doing 25,000. He said, no, 2,500. I said, no, sir, 25,000. How many of you guys believe we can pack 25,000 meals next week? So next week, join us for that, 10 a.m. We just look forward to that. And then we'll be back, of course, with our kind of typical services at the beginning of the year. We're going to start off a new series called Your Best You. And so join us for that series. And then also January 19th, this is crazy for some of you who've been here for such a long time. 3 years is going to be our anniversary, January 19th. And so January 19th, the people that are clapping are the ones that have been doing this for 3 years. But believe it or not, we've been in the community for 3 years, actually four technically. We started out as the campus, but our first year as Bridgeway Church in Trinity. But we launched officially as Brave just 3 years ago almost. It's crazy. It's been an awesome journey. And so just join us for that. January 19th, we're going to have baptisms for that. And so we can't wait for just the new year to come. It's going to be a great series again for us called Your Best You. And so we look forward to having you there a part of that as well. You can always go to our website, go to our Facebook page to find out what's happening at Brave, by the way. Well, today I want to finish off a series we've been in. It's called Unwrapping Christmas. And I want to pray for us before we jump into the text. So if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray real quick. Jesus, thank you for your word, and I believe by faith that your word changes our hearts. I know it. I know it to be true. And so, Jesus, I pray that your word at this time would enter our hearts, would plant deep, and Lord, you'd have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, I want to wrap a question today that I think a lot of people have debated, and chances are, at some point, you have debated this question yourself as well. It's a question I think a lot of people really don't know the answer to. You may have heard different answers to it, but, you know, people ask you about it. And for you, you know, kind of personally, you're like, I still have a hard time, you know, hearing, you know, what that is or hearing how to interpret that or how to take that. So today I want to just kind of talk about this question. Here's the question. The question is, how can I be certain that I have eternal life in heaven? How can I be certain that I have eternal life in heaven? Lots of different people have different views on this particular question. Some people believe that everyone gets in, you know, that's kind of the thought, that everyone gets into heaven, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you've seen this maybe at like a different award shows, you know. You know, you may not know the person, like you'll see people like, you know what, man, now he's in a better place, you know, or she's in a better place. Like, you didn't even know her, didn't even know him, but yet everybody gets in at some point. Or some people teach that, you know, everybody gets in, and sometimes you get like, you know, one life, you get two life, you get nine lives, you know, you just keep trying this thing out until eventually everybody gets in. So, you know, or some people teach and believe that, like, you know, you're going to get like a third chance at the end, you know, maybe eight chances, you know, and so eventually we're all going, and so that's great. And so this is kind of one thought that people do take on this whole heaven thing and eternal life thing. Other people teach, and a lot of religions, even beyond Christianity, but a lot of religions teach that you have to earn your way in to some degree. In other words, the life that you've lived and the status and the way you've lived your life really determines your afterlife, whether it's like eternal punishment or eternal like rewards and what kind of rewards you get. And so, but it really is based off of this idea about that you got to earn it, you know, you got to be good, which is really kind of confusing because then who decides what's really good, you know? It's like if you murdered one person, but you did jail time, you know, and yes, you said you're sorry. Okay, you get in, you know, that's good enough. Or, you know, if you never said you're sorry, if you lied once, like, how does that get determined? But some people believe it's just good enough, you know, like if you took care of your family, you know, you worked hard, you know, and you paid your dues and you paid your taxes. You didn't pay that one speeding ticket, but God forgives that, so that's fine. You know, you're just good. You know, you open doors for people. Hey, you gave one time, you know, to that lady that needed some money. You know, you gave. You were generous. You pay child support, you know, so, hey, you know, you get in. What else? You know, like, let's just think about it. You know, you tip good. You 20%, you know. I mean, you get in. You're good. You tip 10%. You're not getting in, you know. You're not good. And, you know, so how does that get determined? But people think, you know, if you're good enough, you know, he did good things. You know, he was nice. He told jokes. Made me laugh. I mean, people that make you laugh can't go to hell, can they? No, of course not. They make you laugh, so they're good. You know, so does that make sense? People just think this way. So there's all different kinds of ways that people think about how you get eternal life, right? This is just all different kinds of views. For thousands of years, people have wrestled with this question. How can we actually be certain for sure that you can have eternal life, that you can live forever, that you can go to this place called heaven? So to speak. Well, I'm not here today to try to really wrestle with you about who's right and who's wrong and which path is right, which path is wrong. But what I do want to invite you to do is this. I want to invite you in to just to listen to this conversation between a guy named Nick and Jesus. I want you to listen in to what Jesus has to say about this question, because believe it or not, thousands of years ago, this guy named Nick and Jesus had a conversation about this question. Because just like then, just like today, like they wrestle with the same thing. And so Jesus gives his take on the answer to this question. And so you may or may not decide to listen to or agree with what Jesus has to say, but at least when you leave here today, you'll know, hey, that's what Jesus said about it. This is what Jesus said about it, and maybe you don't agree, but this is what Jesus had to say about the answer to this question about how you can be certain that you can have eternal life in heaven. So here's how we're going to find this story. It comes from a book named John. John's a follower of Jesus, and he writes and records some stuff that Jesus said and Jesus did. And so John records this in John 3:1, and here's, we'll put it up on the screen, and here's what it says. John writes this. He says, hey, I want you to know something about this guy named Nick. We're going to call him Nick. He says, there was a Pharisee, and his name is Nick, and I want you to know he's a Pharisee. And the reason why John wants you to know that is because a Pharisee is really important in the story. He says he's a member, in fact, of the Jewish ruling council. So John wants you to know, and he wants me to know, hey, this guy Nick was a really, really important guy. And he wants you to also know that he's a Pharisee. And the reason why he says the word Pharisee actually means to be a separated person, a separated one. A Pharisee was a person who would have said basically this. They pick up the Bible, like modern day vernacular that we might use or terminology we might use. Like, you ever heard the term, like, you're a fanatical? Maybe you ever met some fanatical Christians? Anybody ever met some fanatical? Just don't admit it. But you have, you call them fanatical, you know? Anybody ever been to a church? You're like, man, that's a little fanatical. That's a little weird. That's a little like crazy. You know, raise some hands. You see some stuff on TV, you know, you're like, they're pretty fanatical, you know? Okay, so this is kind of a little bit about Nick. Nick's a little fanatical. I mean, he is a Pharisee. He is devoted. I mean, he lives his whole life trying to actually do everything this says to do. In fact, he would have studied really what was called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you go to the Old Testament, open up your Bible, read those first five books, this guy, Nick, was very dedicated to reading those scriptures. In fact, he taught those scriptures, and there's 613 laws. And they aren't just like kind of normal laws, like don't speed. Some of them, one of the laws is like you can't wear polyester. Just, you know, if some of you are like, well, I'm out. I'm a polyester, you know. But there's certain things. You can't cut your hair a certain way. Can't talk a certain way. Can't do certain things. And so Nick, this guy, was so dedicated to following the rules of the Bible. This is how he lived his life. He said, just call me a separated one. I want to just live all for God. Like, I'm going to dedicate my life. This is how Nick lives his life. He's a Pharisee, and he's fairly high up within the ranking, if you would, of the Jewish community, and so he's kind of looked up that way. He's a teacher in that way, so he follows. His whole life was about following the rules of the Bible, okay? And so for Nick, the way to heaven was, one, just by being a Jew. If you're a Jew, you get in, but also by your obedience. Like, you have to do what this thing says to do. There's no other way. In other words, you kind of have to earn it, you know? You just got to obey your way in, and if you don't obey your way in, you're going to hell, man. You know, that's his thought. I mean, he's pretty intense about this thing. But even though he had studied this stuff and he's following all the rules, evidently something inside of Nick didn't sit well, because he's still a little like, am I for sure getting in? Like, I want to know for certain that I'm getting in. And we're going to find out in just a minute that him and his friends actually have a conversation. Evidently, him and some of his Pharisees' friends are like, hey, you know, Nick, we got to go talk to Jesus, see what Jesus says about this. I mean, he's pretty good at what he's doing, and he seems to be a pretty good teacher. Nick, why don't you go find out what Jesus has to say about this question about how to know we can get to heaven? Because they're working their whole life to try to get to heaven, and they just want to know for certain, like, this thing is working. Because if you're going to work that hard, you're going to obey all those laws, you want to be certain. And so this is where Nick is and his buddies are. And so like, Nick, you got to go talk to him, try to find out what Jesus has to say about this whole thing. And so here's how John continues on. He says, he came to Jesus. He came at night. You say, who cares? No, it's really important. He came at night. The reason he came at night is because a Pharisee, if they were to be caught following Jesus or maybe even giving their life to Jesus or believing what Jesus said to be true, they'd be kicked out of church. I mean, just imagine showing up to a church being like, man, I love Jesus. Well, then get out of here. You know, we don't want you here. You know, this is what would have happened. And to a Pharisee, like, they don't want to be kicked out of the synagogue and like their tabernacle, like their whole thing. This is their community. So he goes at nighttime to kind of go undercover a little bit. Also, rabbis were known to like really study at nighttime where like there's no distractions, people aren't around him. So when Jesus is awake in the daytime, the crowd's always trying to gather around him, have him heal me, you know, raise me from the dead. I don't know if they could talk, but you know, maybe their friends did, but hey, raise him from the dead. And so, you know, Jesus is busy in the daytime, but at nighttime, it's like a little more quiet. And so Nick says, I gotta get Jesus alone. I got to have a face-to-face conversation with him. And I got to find out, hey, you know, what do you think about me going to heaven? What do you think? So Nick goes over there. He starts this conversation with Jesus. And here's what he says approaching Jesus. He gets his attention. Here's what he says, first line. He says, Rabbi, this teacher, common terminology, you're a teacher. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. And here's why he says that. For no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. This is his line. Hey, I know, in other words, you're a pretty powerful dude. I mean, that's basically what he says in our modern term. In other words, I saw you when he raised that kid. Like, I saw that, I heard about that. You know, you raised that kid from the dead. He had, like, the fever and stuff. And the girl, she reached out and she touched a robe and she got healed. Man, you fed, like, 5,000 people, just like a loaf of bread. You had some crackers and sardines. And you fed 10,000 people. Like, that was pretty cool, man. So we're just convinced you're pretty powerful. And we're convinced you're from God. Because evidently, all these miracles that you're performing, I mean, you're somebody pretty important, and I just want you to know, I recognize that. In other words, I believe in you. I mean, I see what you're doing, and it's pretty cool. And I think you're from God. And me and my friends have talked, and we think you're from God, but it's nighttime, so let's just keep that down a little bit, because if people find out about that, then, you know, I may not have the things that I want. Does that make sense? And so this is where Nick is. This is what he tells Jesus. I'm convinced that you're something from God, but I'm still not quite sure exactly who you are. It's kind of weird, but I just want you to know we think you're kind of special. Does that make sense? And then Jesus responds back, and he starts to reveal, really interesting, that he is not really an ordinary person. Look how Jesus responds to Nick's statement about who he is. So Jesus says, very truly I tell you. Now, I know to you, and you're like, okay, what does that mean? The Bible is awesome. You got to read it. Listen, it says, what he basically says is, Nick, what I'm about to tell you is true. That's really important. Nick's like, yeah, I know truth. I mean, Jesus is essentially saying, no, Nick, no. See, humans discover truth. I created it. See, I'm about to tell you something that's true. And before I tell you what I'm about to tell you, you need to know this is true. I know you have your truth, and you have your truth, and you have your truth, and they have their truth, and you have your truth, and what's true to you, and what's true to you, and what's true to you. But Jesus would say, no, Nick, what I'm about to tell you is actual truth. And that's so important as he sets the stage for what he's about to unfold next. His whole point, Nick, was he wanted him to know, you discover truth, but I'm the one who makes it. I'm the one who creates it. And then he reveals why he could even begin to make a statement like that. I mean, think about the audacity. If somebody's stepping up and saying, listen, everything you thought is true, no. What I'm about to tell you is really true. There's no false in it. Watch what Jesus goes on to say next. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." And Nick's like, and I know for you, you're like, what? I hope you understand that. I think Nick literally responds with a little bit of jaw dropping, like, how did you know I was going to ask that question? Because Jesus, or Nick didn't even ask Jesus the question yet. All he said was, hey, we know you're pretty powerful. I mean, you're evidently from God. You've got some awesome signs, and you've done some cool things. But Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. In other words, as if to say, Nick, I know why you're here. You guys are trying to figure out how to get to heaven. And I just want you to know, you have to be born again. And Nick is a little dumbfounded by that. Nicodemus is like, born again? You know, he's kind of a little bit confused. But before we show you kind of how Nicodemus responds to this, I want to unpack just a little bit of wording here, kind of terminology, just so you understand what Jesus was saying in this moment and how Nick would have maybe kind of interpreted it. The word again, there's three different meanings in Greek for this word again, okay? This is how we came up with the terminology, how we come up with the words born again. This is how we came up with the English words born and again. Because the Greek term in again actually means to simply from above. So the word again would have meant from above. In other words, he's basically saying you got to be born from above. Another meaning to this word simply means from the beginning or over again. So essentially over again and from above is how we came up with the two words born again. Because in English, we don't have one word to have that meaning. So we say, well, how do we do something from above? So a better translation probably would read, born again from above. See, Nick, you got to be born again. Now, Nick is really confused by this whole thing, and he's just trying to find out, hey, man, I just want to know if I'm going to heaven. That's all I really care about. And Jesus said, I'm trying to tell you, this is how you get to heaven. You get born again. And so because Nicodemus is a little confused, I think he has a really confused look on his face. And here's how he responds next. It's so practical. Look what Nick responds back to Jesus after Jesus says his statement. He goes on in verse 4. He says, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Like in current day, and I think if Jesus, you can be born again. Nick basically says, so do we just like dive back in? This is literally the response. I mean, that's pretty, you want us to get born again? Like, how does this process work? Do I shrink like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and then like jump in? Well, how does this work? And he just doesn't understand. He can't process clearly what Jesus is trying to get at because Jesus is kind of speaking over his head a little bit. Well, Jesus is such a good teacher, and he knows he's kind of confusing Nick at this point. I think maybe he has some sense of humor, and he kind of, Nick, listen to me. Here's what he says again, verse 5 through 7. He says, very truly I tell you, what I'm telling you is true. And he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of God. You'll never enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and the Spirit. He's like, wait, you're born again. Now you're talking about born of water and of Spirit. But remember, the term again means from above. So he says, you got to be born from above again, from water and of the Spirit. And then he goes, this is real practical. Nick, I think you'll understand this. You know how flesh gives birth to flesh? Do you know how that happens? Do you know how that happens? Are we clear on how to make babies? Flesh gives birth to flesh? Left side, you guys okay with this? Okay. You okay with this? Flesh, okay. We know the process. I don't have to explain it. Good. I had to explain it to the first service, and you're smarter. So he says, flesh gives birth to flesh. We know that works. Nick's like, yep, I'm on track. Okay. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Nick's a little confused. Yeah. Spiritual things can only give birth to spiritual things. See, I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. It's a birth from above. It's not something you can orchestrate. It's something only my Father in heaven can do. Nick, the birth comes from God. It doesn't come from something you can do. That's what he's trying to drive at. You should not be surprised at my saying you've been teaching this stuff. You have to be born again. He doesn't say you should be. Like, consider it. There's a whole bunch of other ways. He says, no, of according to Jesus, says, you want to go to heaven? You have to be born again. You actually have to be born from above. And it's not a flesh thing. It's a spiritual thing. And only God can perform that. Because only flesh can birth flesh, and only spirit can birth spirit. This is the way to have eternal life. This is the only way to have eternal life. And I think, Nick, I think just like today, that really rubbed him wrong. Because he had dedicated his whole life to obeying all these laws, 613, in fact, even more than that. I mean, how could you have the audacity to tell me I'm a Jew and I'm not going to heaven because of what I've done? How can you? Jesus would say to Nick, and he would say to you, and he would say to me, got to be born again. That's the only way. That's the only way. And you can disagree with Jesus. You can accept him for what he thinks is true, but Jesus says this is truth. And I'm just here to tell you, to be born again is the only way to eternal life and salvation. And this is the question that Nicodemus was longing to hear. In other words, what Jesus was trying to indicate was simply this. Inheritors of the kingdom of God are those who've been born of God. Inheritors of the kingdom of God are those who have been born of God. The only way to enter salvation is by being born again in God and of God, for God to give you a new birth. This is what Jesus would say. Well, because Jesus wants to make sure that Nick understands this, he's like, hey, let me just make sure you get this, Nick. I know you're kind of like a C student, you know, and you just need a little bit extra. So let me give you a little bit extra. Let me make this very practical for you. Jesus says this next. You know how the wind blows, verse 8, wherever it pleases. You know, you hear the wind, you hear the sound. Yeah, I can hear it. Okay. You can tell, you can't tell where it's come from. No, I can't really see it, but I can hear it. I can feel it. Okay, yep, that whole thing. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I think Nick's a little confused still. In fact, we'll find out in a second. I think he's still a little confused. But here's what Jesus is trying to get at. You know how people can't necessarily always see the wind? You know, you can hear it, but you can't always see it. But you experience it because you feel the wind in your face. By the way, if you have a newborn child, I recommend this. You ever blown in the little child's face when they're crying? And it's, you ever done that before? It works really well. I have three kids. Our fourth is on the way, due in January, and I'm prepared. How do we deal with a crying baby? Just blow, you know, and just stop breathing for like a second, and then they come back. They're fine. But it's just that the baby can't explain it. The baby can't see it. But the baby experiences it nonetheless. The wind is there. Jesus is saying, this is the same kind of a thing, Nick. See, when you get reborn, you may not be able to fully understand it. You may not be able to fully like see it all. But the reality of its experience is real. And when that moment happens, everything will change in your life. You get a whole brand new birth. This is what Jesus is trying to teach him. And so Nick is really just thrown off. And I love him. I relate so well to Nicodemus. And here's what he says next. He says, how in the world does this happen? I'm still confused. Help me understand this better. And Jesus responds back with not like disappointment, Dad, but maybe just a little like, Nick, you're a teacher to the nation of Israel. How is it that you don't understand this? How come you can't understand these things? Like, I'm talking to you about everything that you're reading and you still don't understand and you still don't grasp what I've been teaching you. Nicodemus should have known this, yet he could not understand the most basic requirement for the entry to the kingdom of God. He would have been able to recite for you often, and very likely, he would have been able to recite the book of Genesis. Just go try that. Seriously, go pick up the book of Genesis and just try to recite it, you know, and memorize it. Because they didn't have copies. I mean, this is how they studied. He would have understood. You know, he didn't have to look on Google to look up a verse. He would have understood it so well. He should have known this more than anyone. Here's why this relates to me so much and it kind of really moves in my heart this Christmas season and this time. I think a lot of people are there. Let's be honest. Maybe you're there. You've sat in church a long time, but you really don't know for certain how to get to heaven. And somebody asked you recently, maybe. You really didn't know how to explain it. Or if somebody did, you wouldn't know what to say to them. You've sat in church, maybe been in church your whole life. That would have been Nick. You grew up in it, went to Sunday school and everything. You know, you even got a little diploma. It said Christian on it. I don't know, you know. You just thought, you know, and I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just saying, you know, it's like, but truth, you're kind of like Nicodemus. You really don't know how the whole thing works out. Maybe for some of you in the room, you'd say, yep, Christian. But you kind of think that maybe everybody gets there at some point, don't they? I mean, God doesn't really allow people to go to hell or something, does he? I mean, so it's just kind of a confusing thing. And so here I read a stat recently, and it was pretty shocking, pretty eye-opening, and at the same time, it was kind of troubling for me. But 57% of people who attend evangelical churches in our nation, it says there's a statistic done on this, 57% of the people that attend churches just like this all over the world today, people are packed out churches all over, 57% of those people said that many paths lead to the kingdom of God. You know what's that breaks me about that? You're wrong. It's not true. Don't know. I mean, how could a church, the church, not our church, just capital C church, how could that be? Over 50% of the people sitting in churches today, maybe attend churches, part of small groups, volunteer at churches, maybe even teach kids or maybe even teach from the platform in this way, still really don't understand Jesus' words. Jesus' perspective was so crystal clear. You have to be born again. This is the only way to the kingdom of God. Just believing in God, notice this, doesn't save you, Nick. I know you believe in me. You stated that when you first walked up to me, but I just want you to know that doesn't get you in. How about obeying all the laws? No, sorry, not good enough. No, none of you are ever going to be good enough. No, Nick, that doesn't get you in either. The only way to become a person who sees the kingdom of God is to be born again. And Nick, I wish you understood these things. He goes on to say, very truly, I tell you once again, verse 11, we speak of what we know, yet you testify about what we see. That makes sense. Hey, what you see, you talk about what you see. Okay, yep, we get that. But he says, there's a problem here, Nick. You and your friends, you and your Pharisee buddies, you know, you've been doing a great job at trying to obey this stuff, but you're still missing something. We testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept what people, Pharisee people, these people, his group, his friends, his clique. Hey, you're doing all these things. You've been reading the Bible. You've been checking off the box. You show up to church on Christmas. You did it all. You're great. You're getting in. Jesus said, no, you haven't done the most important thing. See, you're not accepting our testimony. That's the problem, Nick. You're not accepting our testimony. Who's our testimony? Jesus is referring to him and his followers. What's the message that they were proclaiming? What's the testimony of their story? Here's the testimony. Jesus would say over and over again throughout the New Testament, I am from God. He's my Father. I am his Son. I am your awaited Savior. Only people that come to me and through me, believe in me, follow me, place confidence in me, place their hope in me, place their life into my hands, only those people will inherit the kingdom of God. That's it. And those who believe in my words, those who accept my words to be true and follow me will enter the kingdom of God. He would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. God sent me to die for the sins of the world. That's why I'm here. I'm from above. I was before in the beginning. I am the beginning, and I'm in the end. That's me. This is his testimony all throughout the New Testimony, through the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, if you don't believe this and you haven't accepted this to be true in your life, and your confidence isn't in this, sorry. You're not born again. You have to accept this to be true, Nick. And I just want you to know the answer to the question that I know you've had in your heart, how can I be certain that I'm going to heaven? And Jesus answered it very clearly. You have to be born again. Then Jesus does something completely remarkable. He actually foreshadows his own death and resurrection as if to basically say, Nick, if you don't believe a word I've said so far, watch what I'm about to teach you. And I think in this moment, the jaw, literally the jaw of Nicodemus drops and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. Yeah, you're Jesus. You're God, obviously. And after this, watch what Jesus says next. And to you, this might not sound so shocking, but I'll unpack it. Look what he says next. I've spoken to you, Nicholas, about all this stuff. You don't, Nicodemus, you don't, okay? Earthly things, and you don't believe. Okay? The problem is, how will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? You're trying to understand spiritual things, but you don't even understand how the world operates. So let's go back to the basics here. And then he says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. Well, that's me. That's the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Now, I know, but I did all the homework, so just lean in. Ready? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. You're like, what? That's kind of weird. But not if you're Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee, right? So he taught the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Jesus takes a line from Numbers 21, and he puts it back in front of Nicodemus, and he says, you know how Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness? And of course, Nicodemus is like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just taught that last week. Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're referring to. Well, he's saying, well, just like that, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up as well. It's a foreshadow of him going to the cross. When he does this, he literally is teaching Nicodemus something. Because Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, records for you and for me an incident in the wilderness experience of Israel when people had turned against Moses and God. The Lord had sent these venomous snakes which bit the people so that so many of them died because they had simply turned their backs on God. But the remaining that were alive, if they would simply confess their sin to Moses, they would beg Moses, actually, Moses, tell God we're sorry. Stop the snake biting. You know, we're dying here. Go tell God we're sorry. We repent. We turn. We recognize that he is God. And so Moses went to pray. Moses went, this is the key word, intercede. He went to kind of God on their behalf. Hey, God, help my people out. They're asking for forgiveness. And so God responds back to Moses. This is all recorded in Numbers 21. He goes back and he says, tell them to do this. Make a snake and put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So what's Jesus saying to Nicodemus in this moment? Just as Moses was lifted up in the snake, just as he lifted that snake up on that stick or on that cross, if you would, so Jesus too, so the Son of Man, so I too will be lifted up. And for anyone who's been bitten by the snake, if you would, or maybe who's been bitten by the stain of sin, if you would, the sin that's corrupted their thinking and the way they run from me and they don't know me, they don't want to know me, and they disregard me. If anyone would simply just look to the cross, they will be saved. But if they don't look to me, they'll perish. Because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. As the lifting of the snake in the desert was God's provision for salvation from physical death for rebellious Israelites, so too the lifting up of Jesus on the cross will be God's provision for salvation from eternal death for people of all nations, so that everyone who believes in him would have eternal life. The Israelites, bitten by these venomous snakes, had to believe in God's provision to look to the snake to live. This is God's making a way for salvation. And now God had provided salvation from the consequences of sin for all people if they would only look to his son, Jesus, on a cross. And if they would, they'd be healed and set free of their disease of sin and made perfect in the eyes of God. Experience righteousness and holiness and purity so that they can live forever in the presence of God. Jesus' whole teaching to Nicodemus was simply this, that God doesn't save people because they are good. You know, you can't be good enough. Nope, because they turn to him in repentance and are born again. And Nicodemus' aha moment goes off. In fact, later on, you can read this later on. Actually, I think it's in John 19. Nicodemus is one of the men who actually takes Jesus' body from the cross, and they're going to bury it and put it in the dirt. And Nicodemus says, no way, give me the body. And they wrap it in the cloth, and they put it into the tomb, which eventually leads to the resurrection of Christ. And Nicodemus is one of those men as a way to proclaim his faith openly and declaring, it says, give me the body of my Savior. Everything for Nick had changed. It all hinged on this conversation. And Nicodemus knew in this moment, this is the Savior of the world sitting right in front of me. And he's about to go to the cross to pay the price for my sins so that I could enter the kingdom of God. And if you're Nicodemus, here's what you're thinking. It's not about obedience every single day. It's not all about just obedience. Obedience happens, yeah, but that's a byproduct of what's happened in my heart. I don't got to show up to church just to get saved. I don't got to sing song to get saved. But I have to be born again. And I can tell you, for people who are truly born again, talk to any believing, born again Christian. And I'll tell you, they'll say, I show up to church all the time. I give, I serve, I do all that I can because everything in me changed when I got born again. The best way I can summarize being born again is simply like this. Well, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean? What does it mean? To be born again, this is the best way I can kind of phrase it. To be born again is to undergo such a radical change. I think we'll put it up on the screen if you have it. To be born again is to undergo such a radical change that it is like a new birth. That's how Jesus would say it. It's like a new birth. It's like a whole new you, okay? Different way of thinking, different way of seeing, different way of loving, different way of forgiving. It's a whole new birth. It is to have something happen to the soul. Remember, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a flesh thing. Right? It's not like that. Thank God, like we all have to go get tattoos or something, you know, like on our forehead. Hey, now Christian, you know, or like shave our head or something. No, this isn't a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. But let me tell you something. When you give your life to Jesus and you're born again, your soul will change. The way you love your wife will change. The way you see love will change. The way you see the money in your wallet will change. You know why? Because your soul changed. Everything changes. Everything will flip around. Not always immediately, but something starts to trigger. We heard about it in the story from Heather's testimony in the video. Did you hear it? She's standing in this crowd, this audience, in this massive auditorium of the stadium. And she said, I just knew. I stood up and everything in that moment began to change. Just a short time later, she's doing this 21-day fast thing. You can't make this just person just like you. Everything changed. Why? Born again. Born again. You say, well, how do you explain that? I can't explain it. It's a spiritual thing. I can't fully explain it to you. It's like the wind. But I can tell you it's a reality nonetheless. Talk to any person who's changed their life. I find people all the time. You ever met a person who gave their life to Jesus and you can't believe they gave their life to Jesus? Come on. Let me say that again. Have you ever met somebody who gave their life to Jesus and you thought, you didn't give your life to Jesus? Have you ever been surprised to hear someone's going to church? You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to church now. Read my Bible. Just shut up, man. Come on. Let's go to happy hour. You know, like, wait. You know. You ever talk to somebody like this before? And they're like, no, 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 no. You don't understand. Everything has changed. Well, talk to me about what happened. I can't explain it to you. I'm just telling you everything changed. It's a rebirth. It's a new birth. And even though they can't explain it, it's a reality nonetheless. And everything changes. Says something happens to the soul which can only be described as being born all over again, and the whole process is not a human achievement. You'll never earn it, Nick, because it comes only from the grace and the power of God. And then John, the author of this whole story, we'll wrap this up. John wraps this up with the most famous like scripture verse. This is how John, as if like, okay, that's the conversation, but I've got to let you know this. And here's what he says next. Famous line, right? None of us know this. We've heard it. We've, you know, whatever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
John is writing this story about Nick and Jesus, this conversation, and I think at this point, probably likely, John kind of takes away from the conversation. He's like, I get it now. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, because he just explained it to Nick, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This verse takes place immediately following this conversation about the way to heaven from Jesus and Nick. Thank God for Nick. Because it wasn't for Nick going at nighttime trying to figure this question out, we may not know. But now you can know the way to heaven. Because Nick went to have a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus told him, you gotta be born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. No one who's not born again, no one will see the kingdom of God. Only those who are born of my spirit, born from above. You may not like it. You may not agree. But Jesus would say to you, and he'd say to me, you're wrong. I'm telling you the truth. And I couldn't think of a better message to give you on Christmas. The gift of salvation. The opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. It's the most important decision you ever make in your life. And I can promise you, in my personal testimony in my life, everything will change. Everything. I didn't say everything's going to be perfect. On the contrary, everything gets hard. To live your life for Christ, it's not about being perfect. Nope. Still have struggle, still have strife. But there's no greater joy than experiencing the peace and the love of God in your life and to coming home to the Father. And for Nick, he'd eventually go to the cross. And he'd take Jesus' body and he'd wrap it up as a way of proclaiming, you're the Son of God. You're Jesus. It's a powerful name. It's who you are. I believe in you. I confess you as my Savior. This Christmas, I want to simply invite you to unwrap the gift of salvation. Why this message on Christmas? Because I just want you to know this is the real reason why Jesus was born. His whole life built up to this moment. His life was about death. Death for you. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's what Christmas really is about. Salvation for your soul. The rest is all garbage. It's your soul that goes on. We are a soul with a body. We're not a body that has a soul. It's different. You're a soul. And your soul can go on to eternity in the kingdom of God, if you're born again, according to Jesus. You can take Jesus at his words if you'd like, but I promise you, when you give your life to him and you're born again, you'll have a new way of thinking and a new way of seeing. Jesus wanted everyone to know, and he wants you to know today, that the motive of all of this, the motive, and John wants you to know, the writer, the motive of all of this is love. God so loved the world. He loved you so much that he gave you a son. If you would just believe in him, place your hope in him, place your confidence in him, trust in who he says he is, you will have eternal life in Christ, and you will enter the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful for your word. And Father, I believe in your word. It's the most powerful thing on the planet. It's your word, God. It's your word. It stands above all words. And Jesus, I pray for those in the room who may not know the way to heaven or today. Maybe those who've questioned their own way to heaven, but God, that they would know today that they can have eternal life in you. So right where you are, if today you just simply want to make the decision to unwrap the gift of salvation, and today you want to give your life to him, maybe surrender it fully. And I'm playing the different scenarios out because this is what life kind of happens. You know, maybe you made a decision at some point and, it was just kind of a decision. But today you're like, I want to place my confidence in him. You will not have all of the answers to all your questions today, most likely. But you know who you are. And right now, it's like in that moment where something's trying to shift and you're trying to fight it and you're trying to shift it. And God's spirit is wanting to come inside of you saying, give your life to me. We can have a brand new start today. you could walk out of here knowing now and forevermore that you will enter the kingdom of God, but you must be born again. If today, just by showing your hand, I want to be born again, would you just lift your hand right where you are? Amen, I see your hands. Don't be ashamed of it. I'm so proud of you. It's the reason why you came. I see your hands up. Keep your hands up. I'm very proud. If your hand is up, keep it up. Actually, do something. Would you just stand to your feet? Stand up. Don't be afraid. That's why you came. Be born again. New births happening. Anybody else? New births. Hey, if you're standing, would you just look at me for just a moment? I'm very proud of you. It's fantastic. Being born again today. It's a new birth. Everything's going to change in your life. The way you love people, the way you care for people, how you live your life, everything will change. But you got to start reading your Word of God, start reading the Bible, and, you know, diving into whatever church you might attend. Let God's Spirit fully consume you and change you. Amen.